Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Appreciate the word, and trust that you'll pray. Don't know the need of anybody's heart, but I can tell you what we're going to share today applies to everybody. So I don't believe it will leave any of us out. Psalms 119, we'll read from verse, we'll start at verse 33 again. Psalms 119, verse number 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the paths of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Lord, we bow before you, praying for the unction above all things, for discernment and direction. Show us clearly what we need to do, for we have no motive other than obedience to serve you, to hear you, to respond to you. Help us, we pray, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if we can edit that, but I've got to read something else now. From the first chapter of Samuel, chapter number 17. The story of David and Goliath. You say, how did you get there from Psalms 119? Well, God just gave me a different unction right out of the blue. So I'm just going to follow God right now and obey him. So I don't know the need of our heart today, but I believe this as well is important. You know the story of David and Goliath, and I want to find a single verse here to read to you. Well, a few. Beginning at verse number 33 of 1 Samuel 17. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. Thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. The servant slew both the lion and the bear, and the uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. Father, bless your words, you know the need. I want to share something with you this morning about courage. It didn't just happen to me. I've been studying on this passage for a day or so, and God just moved me to change gears here for whatever reason. We preached a message in the revival, I think it was this past week, about not being afraid. Not being afraid. The place where Jairus had went unto Jesus, and he had told him that his daughter was sick unto death, and she was at the point of death, and she was going to die. And you know the story, how that as they were making their way to Jairus' house, the woman that had the issue of blood came into the picture, and she touched his garment, and that stopped everything. And you know, there was a conversation back and forth between her and Jesus and all of that. Well, all the while, here's poor Jairus waiting because his daughter's about dead. And finally, when things were wrapped up with the woman that had the issue of blood, one of the servants from Jairus' house comes running up and says, "Don't bother the master anymore. She's dead." And I want to share this in context. Because Jesus looked at the man. It's the very next verse. Jesus told the man, he said, "Do not be afraid." He said, "Only believe me. Just believe. Don't be afraid. Just believe." I want to ask you today where courage comes from. Where does courage come from? If courage is the opposite of fear, where does it come from? Now we know where fear comes from. Fear is inherent in the flesh. You don't have to manufacture that. You're just born with it, right? For the most part, people learn to fear many different things through experiences in life. But fear is something that is present in us all, right? And for a good reason, right? There are times when we need to be afraid, and that helps us to run or to get out of the way or all of those things. So fear is not necessarily always a bad thing. As a matter of fact, in the Word of God, it teaches us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's a good thing. So there are things to be feared, and rightly so. And there are things that, when feared, will help us and preserve us and make us better. But I want to talk about those things that are bad fear, those things that we should not fear. Now, if anybody should have been afraid, Jairus should have been afraid, right? He was already terrified because he came running to Jesus, begging for his help. "My daughter's at the point of death, and I know that if you can come, that you'll heal her." And so as he was making his way, his daughter died. And yet what Jesus told to Jairus was a phenomenal thing. He looked at him and he said, "Do not be afraid. Only believe." And I want to share with you today the need that we have for courage. The book of 1 Samuel, we read about David when he had come into the army of the camp of the Israelites as they had set in array against the Philistines in battle. The Bible said the Philistines were on one mountain and Israel was on another, and there was a great valley in between them. And for every day, for 40 days, the champion of the Philistines had come down into that valley and had cried out into them against defying the army of the living God and making his boast, basically waging a negotiation that whoever would come down and fight with him, whoever won that battle, the other would be the servants to the winner. And there Goliath came down every day and made his brag. And here's what I want you to see. Not one man in Israel would stand against Goliath. You say, what was wrong with them? They were all afraid. They were all afraid. What were they missing? They didn't have the courage. And here we hear of young David, who had been tending his father's sheep. And Jesse comes to him and he says, "David, I want you to take some of this cheese and some of these things to your brothers and to their captains." And so David left his sheep with a keeper, and he takes his carriage and he heads toward where the battle was in array. The Bible said when he got there was about the time of day that Goliath would come down. And as David was talking with his brothers and others, the Bible said that Goliath came down there and he began to make his boast unto them again and said, "If you'll send me your champion and let us fight, whoever wins of the other will serve them." And he defied the army of the living God. David heard this and it struck a chord in his soul. There was something that was enacted, something that was moved in him. There was something that in David we all need, and that's courage. There was something there, you see, that a lot of us, it fails to reach into our heart and our mind and truly to become one of the characteristics that guide us and lead us. Yes, fear is real, and fear attacks, and fear oftentimes is prohibited or brought along by the liar himself, the father of lies, the one who wants us not to believe God. He wants to defy God with his lies. He wants to make you fear and make you tremble and make you believe that you can't do anything. But may I say today that our God is bigger than any other. There is no Goliath in this world that my God cannot destroy. You say, well, how do I get that place that when the God giants of my life step up, how do I get to the place that when those that are much larger than I am, those that seemingly are daunting to overcome, those that are mountains that create fear within me, where is the point in my life that courage stands up? Courage is what moves in me. When David heard the voice of Goliath and he heard what he said, he made a statement. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that does defy the army of the living God? And the Bible said he quickly volunteered to go. He volunteered to go. Anybody ever been in a position where you had an opportunity to step forward and yet what you were stepping forward for was something very terrifying? It was odds that weren't in your favor. It was a scenario where certainly the competitor or the other person was much larger or faster or smarter. All of us have been in that place where it simply took a bit of courage for us to step forward and do what God wanted us to do. You say, oh, David was courageous. He certainly was. David was courageous. Because without any fear, he volunteered to go down and fight Goliath. Now, every estimate has Goliath at about 9.5 feet tall, maybe 10 feet tall. It's hard to imagine a man that large, that big. I believe the Guinness World Book of Records has one at 8 feet. And this one was 10, right? I stood beside a guy this past week or several nights this past week who was 6'8". And I have to look up to him. Right when he comes in the room, he has to duck his head under the door because they're 6'8". And I thought to myself, Goliath, 10 feet tall. I'm afraid that I'm quite certain that I would have been the one sitting back there saying, no, that's not me. I barely hit 6 feet tall. Right? We're looking for a giant. We're looking for somebody as large as him to go and fight against him. The Bible teaches us that Saul, the king, was a head taller than the rest of them. A man who was very tall in stature, probably 6'5" or maybe even greater. And yet Saul was unwilling to go and fight against Goliath. There was nobody that had the courage. May I say to you today that what our country needs is people with some courage. People that are willing to take a stand and say, you know what? Even though the government may be against me, even though the culture may be against me, even though the media may be against me, I'm going to stand for Jesus. Why? Because I believe that Jesus is stronger. Amen. That was a lot of amens. Thank you. I heard them. But I want to make a point to that, right? It is one thing when we're sitting in here, like-minded people, right? And we are all together and we are all about it. And here we are gathered to worship this God who we really do believe. He did all the things he said he did in here, right? Nobody's contesting that God didn't roll back the Red Sea. God didn't do this or God didn't do that. No, the people in this room actually do believe that God did all of them things. The problem is that not all of us believe he'll do them for me. David said, who is that? And they told him. Told him who he was and said, guess what? The man that goes and fights against him, if he wins, great riches will come to his household and he'll get the daughter of the king. Wife. David said, tell me that again. And they told him again. He asked him again. He said, tell me again what will happen to the man that does this. And they told him this. Now you say, well, David was being motivated by something that was worldly. No. I believe he understood the gravity of the situation here. He was making clear that he knew exactly what he was being asked to do. And he told them, he said, I will go and fight him. And that made his brothers mad. I'll tell you right now, when people stand against God, don't be surprised if everybody in the church ain't right behind you. Right? You know why? Because so many of us live in fear as opposed to living in courage. I love people that have courage, don't you? I run around with a fellow that's an older man, and he's got courage. He's got boldness in God's what it is. And you know what? He's not afraid. He's not ashamed in any circumstance. As a matter of fact, we was with a guy the other day, and the guy said, you know, he said, I need you to help me pray for this. And he stopped him right there, and he said, can we pray now? And we was right in the middle of somewhere, right in the middle of we just stopped and prayed right where we was. And I thought to myself, I love seeing courage when it's played out. I love when somebody believes that God is greater than every circumstance and every situation. May I say to you today, some are living in fear, but what we need to do is not just get past the fear, but we need to have courage. We need to have something that helps us, that motivates us, that even when we see a circumstance, we put ourselves into the place of being a help to God, of being a useful tool, of being an instrument, of being someone that he can use in a circumstance. You realize today that anybody in Israel's army could have went and fought Goliath and won. Any one of them. David wasn't extraordinary in any way. His talents and his gifts and his abilities were not in any way what put him in the position he was in. It was the simple truth that he was the only one willing to go. He had courage. He had courage. How many of us, when it comes to the opportunity to tell somebody, hey, I've got to tell you about Jesus, have courage to take it through? How many of us, when we see something that's wrong and it's within our power to step in and do something, how many of us with courage will step forward, realizing that there may be some rebuke, realizing that there may be some kind of backlash? Let me say something. All of these things are what the devil uses to compel us not to say anything. Don't be a part of anything. Don't get involved. It's none of your business. May I say to you today, it takes courage to change things. It takes courage to make a difference in the culture that you live in. It takes courage to be a man that stands godly in his home when the rest of the world is ungodly. It takes courage for a mother to raise him up and a father to join in and to train up a child in the way that it should go when the rest of the world says, do it this way. And you read in the Word of God and it says, do it a different way. It takes courage when a culture is against your belief system. A culture is against your ideals. A culture is against your way of life. May I say to you today, it will take courage for us to get through. Oh, how we need courage as the people of God. Courage. But I want you to notice here that David didn't just have courage naturally. Right? That it just wasn't because David was born a brave man. Doesn't say so anyway. It doesn't lead us to believe that he was phenomenal in just his bravery. That's not what it was. We certainly believe in or know people that are brave and brave in battle. And you read about them in books. They've been in wars. And in spite of all the odds and the bombs going off and the bullets flying, they walk right in the middle of something and grab their buddy and carry him out. And you think, well, what in the world causes a man to do that? May I say to you today that courage is what motivates most of us to do right. To do the things that matter. To do the things that, yes, there's a cost to it. Yes, there's a danger to it. And all of those things our enemy uses to promote the fear in our hearts and in our minds. And yet what God is asking us to do is to believe him and allow courage to grow in us. When we come to the house of God, there's always, at least in my heart, a desire to encourage you. You see the connection there. And encouragement means that it gives you courage. It helps you battle the fear that you're wrestling with or fighting with. And that encouragement, I believe, comes from the pages of this precious book. You see, I believe that the answer to all of our needs as pertains to fear and the need of replacing that fear, not just with apathy, not just with an indifference, but replacing that fear with a true courage, lies within the pages of this book. And when applied, they produce experiences in our life, and those experiences produce for us faith, right? It produces for us a power with God that we didn't have before. You say, how did David get so brave? Now, he seen him, right? They wasn't telling him about this. He was looking at the cat, right? He was a giant, 10 feet tall, hundreds of pounds of armor on him, right? I mean, we couldn't even stand up under the weight of it. And here was Goliath down there with his sword and his spear and armor all over him and helmet and everything. Well, you couldn't get nothing to him. How in the world would they kill him even if they were as big as he was? And every person in the army of God shook in fear as 40 days in the row the man came down there and made his defiance against the God of Israel. And nobody had the courage to do anything. Right? It didn't have to be David, but it was. And so David rolls in and that whole thing goes down. And David says, I'll go and fight him. And so word goes back to King Saul and says, hey, we got a boy here that wants to go fight the giant. What? Bring him to me. So they brought David into Saul, and there he was in his tent. And David said, I'll go fight him. I'll go fight him. And you know what Saul said to him? He said, you're but a youth. And he said, this man has been a soldier since his youth. And you think I'm going to let you go down there and fight him? Because let's remember what the consequences were. Whoever won was in control. The rest, the other army was slaves to the other one. Right, there was a lot at stake. Imagine what kind of position this put Saul in. I got a kid wanting to go down there and fight a giant. And if he loses, we're all subject to them as their slaves. Yet David said, he said, I can fight him. He said, you're not able to fight him. Ain't that what the devil says? Right? See, that's where our fear comes from. It comes from the enemy telling us things that God has never ordained. He's never showed that to you. He's never told you that. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of giants in my life. There are a lot of things that cause fear and bring worry and concern to my heart. But may I say to you today, I want to get past that. I want to get to the place where I'll say to God, I'll go. I've got courage. Why? Because courage, friend, comes from having already believed God. David had courage in that situation because he had already been in situations before where God did miraculous things. David didn't misunderstand. He understood quite fully. The only way the giant is going down is if God takes him down. But he was also cognizant of if it takes me, then he could take him down through me. And that courage was evident that day. And Saul saw it. David wouldn't be dissuaded. And Saul told him, he said, you're just a youth. You can't go fight against him. And David said, oh, but. He said, let me tell you this. He said, when I kept my father's sheep, he said, there was a time, there was an experience, there was a time when a lion and a bear. Now, I don't know when lions and bears started running together, but he said, there was a lion and a bear. Anybody want to sign up for fighting a lion? That's the kind of situations we're talking about, though, right? I'm not talking about just whether or not you can get that extra $15 for your electric bill this month. I'm talking about a giant, an impossibility. Good now, how can I expect poor old Jeff Fox to go and fight that? But you see, the truth is, Jeff's fought greater and won. Not because Jeff is a giant. Because his God is. Where's my courage? How big is your God, Paul? You say he's big, right? As a matter of fact, you say he's the biggest. You say there's none like your God. Ain't that right, Josh? There's none can equal your God. There's none as strong as your God. There's none as powerful as your God. Right? You'd think with that simple knowledge, brother, we'd be just filled with courage, wouldn't we? Apparently not. Because at the least little boo of the devil, we tuck our tails and we run just like Israel. We scamper back up on the mountain and say, I thought I was ready, I'm not. And here was David, and he said, let me tell you this first before you decide whether I can or can't go. He said, there was a lion and a bear came out and took one of my sheep, my father's sheep. And he said, I went after him. Now, that takes courage. David had learned that God could deliver him from anything. And he said, I went after them. And he said, I caught them. And I, number one, made them turn the sheep loose. And he said, then when the lion come against me, he said, I grabbed him by the beard and I killed him. And I killed the bear also. He said, out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, God delivered me that day. And he said, he'll do the same thing against that giant. Amen. God, give me some of that courage. I'm just being honest. I need that kind of courage. And instead of keeping my mouth closed, I open it up and say, you know what? God said, tell them the truth. Courage that in the wake of the lies of the enemy, you do realize that the devil uses about everything going on these days to promote the lie and fear in the hearts of everybody. Even you good people and me. David said, I'm not afraid of Goliath. Not because I'm not a soldier. Not because I'm not as tall as it. No, he said, the reason that I'm not afraid of Goliath is because I won't win this battle. God will. He persuaded the king. I thought that was pretty exceptional within itself, that he persuaded the decision maker to let a kid go down and fight a giant. That was extraordinary within itself. He talked him into it. Well, God had a part, I'm sure. And Saul said, well, at least if you're going down there, he said, put some clothes on, boy. We got to get you a sword. We got to get you a shield. We got to put all this armor on you. And remember, Saul's 6'5" or whatever. He's a head taller than everybody else. And here's this kid, just a youth. And he puts all this stuff on him, you know, and he's caving under the weight of it all. And you know, the helmet slid down over his eyes, and you can see. And David finally, he just takes it off. He starts peeling everything that he was given, right, all that stuff. He just takes it off, and he gets back down to that little thing that he was wearing. And he had a little belt with a little script on it that could hold stuff, and he had a stick and a slingshot. He said, you know what? He said, thank you for that. He said, but I ain't proved him. You know, if you're going to go fight a giant, I'd look to somebody that's been fighting before and say, well, that's probably good equipment. Not David. No, David said, my experience tells me that I've probably got all I need. I got this slingshot and this stick. Anybody reckon that's some courage, isn't it? Where in the dickens did he get courage like this? Well, if you'd ever grabbed a lion by the beard, Jeb, and killed him, you'd probably be a pretty brave cat, right? We'd say, boy, Jeb's, he got courage. Right? He took hold of that bear and he killed him. It'd be impressive, wouldn't it? David said, I ain't proved them things. He said, don't worry. He said, it's him things that's going to kill Goliath anyhow. He said, it's God, right? And he went on. And the Bible said that when David left out, he left out, and the scripture said that he stopped and he picked him up 5 smooth stones. And he put him in his little shepherd bag. 5 smooth stones. And he set off down into the valley. Well, when Goliath saw him, you know the story. When Goliath saw him, he started laughing. Ain't that the way the devil does? He started laughing. He said, "What am I, dog? Did you send a kid down here with a stick and a slingshot to fight me?" And he cursed David by his own gods. And he said, "I'll take you this day." And he said, "I'll feed your body to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field." You know what David said to him? David said, "I need some of that right there. I need some of that courage." David came right back. He said, "Hey." He said, "You come to me with your sword, your shield, all those other things." He said, "But I come to you." He didn't even mention his slingshot.
That's right.
He didn't mention that stick. He said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord." And he said, "This day the Lord." Who? See, the problem, Paul, is my faith is in the wrong things most of the time. And that's why I'm afraid. I keep trusting, you know that sack of money, or I keep trusting that thing, or those, that's what it's going to take to fix it. No, what it's going to take is the Lord. He looked at the giant, he said, You going to think you're going to kill me with all them things? Let me give you some news. He said, "I ain't coming to you with anything except the name of the Lord Jehovah." And he said, "This day Jehovah will deliver you into my hands. And when he does that, then I will cut your head off." That's some courage. I'm telling you right now, the Church of Jesus Christ in 2021, if they need anything, it's going to be courage. And if they have courage, it will come from their belief in God.
Yep. Amen.
An unwavering, unmoving belief that our God is an awesome God.
Amen.
None can stand. Who is like him, Isaiah said? Who is likened unto your God? There's none like him. I read this and chuckled this morning again. The Bible said, oh, that infuriated, I believe, Goliath. He set toward David. He come at David. And the Bible said David set toward him. Right? What the scripture said was he hasted. He started running toward the giant. What made me chuckle was he didn't even have his pistol loaded. As he was running, he slipped that little hand down into that bag, grabbed him a rock. As he was running, he pulled that rock out and put it in that sling. As he was running, he didn't even have his gun loaded. But he was loading it. As he ran toward the enemy, he was loading it. And by the time she was loaded, he gave that thing a sling. And when he let go, I believe he was still running toward Goliath. It hit him right in the forehead. And the scripture said it sunk in. I believe it touched his brain and out he went. I don't believe giant ever got his sword up to about right here. And he started going back and fell to the ground. You see, the courage that David had was not in David's ability to do anything. It wasn't in the rock. It wasn't in the sling. It wasn't in the staff. He knew that if this giant went down, it would be because God took him down. Does anybody believe our God can do whatever he wants to do? God give us courage. God give us courage then. If we have this knowledge and we even have experience, we've seen him do things. We've experienced those bears and lions in our lives that would produce courage in our own heart. Old Goliath hit the dirt. David's still running. Right up to him, he come. Can you see the mouths of all the Philistines? When their giant hit the dirt. And they watched a ruddy teenager jerk that giant sword out from his neck and cut his head off. Grabbed him by the hair of that gigantic head. It hadn't been that big. Grabbed him by the hair of that gigantic head and held it up. You know what he was promoting? It wasn't David. It was God. See, as he looked back to Israel, I told you God would do it. Where's that courage? Where's that courage in me and you? That we stand, and when we see God do it, we pull up the victory and we point it to everybody else. Say, I told you he could do it. I knew he would do it. He said he would do it. Some of you are facing the biggest giants you've ever had in your life right now. The worst scenario, the worst situation, the hardest things that you've ever been. Let me encourage you that your God is bigger than anything in your life. Anything. There is no, hear me, there is no Goliath that he cannot kill. Courage. I believe it comes from faith. It comes from believing that our God truly is the God we say he is. It's in believing that our God can do what he says he can do. It's in believing. You say, wait, I have a part in it. You're just the vessel. God will not win the battle through your abilities or your accolades or your strengths. No, if God wins the battle, there will be no question about who won it. Everybody will say, did you see what God did for them? We need some courage, don't we? I think so. I really wanted to preach on that other thing. But I guess we needed some courage. Let me give you some encouragement. Your God is an awesome God. And he has not lost any power. Your God holds the waters of all this world in the palm of his hand. Your God has numbered the stars in the heaven and knows the exact number of sand on the seashore. Your God, there's none like him. David had a simple faith that regardless of the enemy, God was bigger. And that faith produced a courage that would send him down running into a valley with a giant with no doubt in his mind the giant was the one going down. I need that courage. I want that courage. And I'm going to have to believe God for that courage. God's not changed. It's us that has to step up and believe God. Vicki, come get a song for us, if you would. The courage to stand against the enemies today has always been ours to do. It's ours to get. But we're going to have to believe God for it. For those things in our lives that seem to promote fear and to cause us to fear about everything, right? You just fill in the blank. Whatever it is that's making you afraid, just put that in the box. And ask yourself the question, is God bigger than this? Right? Did you just do that? I hope you did. I was serious about it. Whatever it is that's making you afraid and worried, I want you to just put that in that thing and ask yourself the question, is God bigger than this? And what's the answer? He's absolutely bigger than anything I can put in front of him. Can God handle this? And what's the answer? Yes, God can handle this. Can God get me out of this? Yes, God can get you out of this. In the Bible, there's a place that says, is there anything too hard for God? I believe it was Job wrote that. I can't remember. But he says, is there anything too hard for God? Ain't that good? Don't that make you feel better? That there is nothing too hard for God. Nothing. As he run toward the giant, he was loading his weapon. Hadn't even done it till then. When he let that thing go, you know who guided that? God. The impact of a rock going into the skull from the scrawny arm of a teenager is unlikely a success. And yet when propelled by the maker of the rock, that thing could have been traveling 1,000 miles an hour. Could have went through him if God had so intended. Right? Because it's never about David. It's never about David's. No. David made it clear. He said, when you go down, he said, it will be so in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Because that's whose name I come to you today. I want you to know that God will never forsake me. He will never leave me. That's encouragement. That ought to give us courage that in every circumstance of our life, God can deliver us. God can deliver us. Let's be courage-filled today by believing God. If you've got a need today, the altar's open. We'll stand and give you an invitation. If you have a need for Him, would you come?